Exodus chapter 5. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told the Pharaoh. And I like how it says they told the Pharaoh. Probably didn't tell kings a whole lot back in those days. You may suggest things to them. You may listen to them tell you something, but Moses and Aaron were representatives of Almighty God, and they told Pharaoh, and this is what they said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And that means right now. Do it now. Verse 2, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." I don't know him. I've got my gods down here. I don't pray to your God. I don't know your God. I'm certainly not going to listen to your God. And I'm sure not going to let the slaves go free. Verse 3. And they, and that would be Moses and Aaron, said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray you, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Now, he doesn't say anything about the God of Israel falling upon Pharaoh at this time. He says he's going to fall upon us. We're going to be in trouble with him if we don't get out there and worship him like he wants us to do. And that would be true. Verse 4. And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Why do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works?" Why do you take them away from their job? And then he says, "Get you unto your burdens. Get back to work. I'm not going to listen to this nonsense anymore." Verse 5. And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many," talking about the Israelites, "and you make them rest from their burdens." You're taking them away from their work, and that's a lot of productivity, and it contributes greatly to the gross national product of Egypt, the national wealth. So quit this goofy talk and tell them to get back to work. Verse 6, and Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officials, saying, this is Pharaoh's response, look at this, "You shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. The Hebrew slaves made bricks to build the cities for Pharaoh, but they were provided the ingredients, the straw that would hold the mud bricks together. But in response to Moses' request or his demand that the people be allowed to go free and worship the Lord, Pharaoh said, he just tightened the screws. He says, no. In fact, now they're going to have to gather their own straw. So he just doubled the workload. Verse 8, and the tally, the number of the bricks which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God." I'm gonna make them do twice the amount of work, and they have to supply the same amount of bricks because they're just trying to get out of work. I'll show them. You try to get out of work, I'll double your workload. What do you think of that? He has no idea that God Almighty is behind the command to let the people go. He has no respect for God at all. Verse 9, "Let there more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." I'll work them to death, and they won't have time to listen to this foolishness, Moses. 10, And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spoke to the people, saying, Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. And this is the exact opposite what the people of Israel were hoping for, believe me. Look at verse 11. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So instead of being set free, they had their hopes up, but instead of being set free, they're just told now that they're going to have to go out and get their own straw. They're going to work night and day. They thought it was hard before. You know, look at verse 11. Well, actually, verse 12. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. They grabbed everything, anything that they could find to use for straw. You know, before the straw had been carried to them and they had it. All they had to do is put the ingredients together. Now they're out scrounging around the countryside looking for stubble in the fields. Anything else that they could use. Verse 13, and the taskmasters hasted them, saying, Fulfill your works, your daily task, as when there was straw. They picked on them. They beat them. Get to work. They're asking them to do the impossible. And then they're beating them and harassing them for not doing it. 14, and the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, Wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Yeah. So they're beating them up, punishing them for not doing something that it is physically impossible to do. They were in a no-win situation. The king of Egypt is trying to beat them down, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually as well. 15. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Why do you deal thus with your servants? It took desperation for these Hebrew leaders to go in and complain to the king and ask him why. Why are you doing this? Implying that what he is doing is wrong. But when you're desperate, what difference does it make, right? 16, there is no straw given unto your servants. And they say to us, make brick. And behold, your servants are beaten. But the fault is in your own people. Translation, it's your fault, Pharaoh, because you're the one who issued this order. I don't know if that takes courage or just desperation. Both, I guess. When you have nothing to lose, right? You might as well say what's on your mind. 17. But he, that is Pharaoh, said, You are idle, you are idle. Therefore you say, Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. You're just being lazy, that's all. This whole baloney about you worshiping your God, that's just an excuse to get out of work. 18. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet you shall deliver the telly of bricks. In other words, he's not changing his mind. So things just got a lot worse for the Hebrew slaves. 19. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, You shall not diminish aught from your bricks and your daily task. Yeah, they picked up on it. We're in trouble. Verse 20. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. You talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time, humanly speaking anyway. Moses and Aaron are standing outside the palace of the king when they just left that palace, having been told that their workload would be doubled, and no doubt you'll continue to get beatings if you don't produce. So this is the leader's response. 21. They said unto Moses and Aaron, The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. In other words, Moses, Aaron, your big plan has backfired. Well, it wasn't their plan, though. It was God. And look at how quickly these these leaders in Israel are turning against God. Oh, they were all for being delivered. They were all for Moses and Aaron going in there and telling them to set the people free. Absolutely, they were all excited about that. But now that there was a negative response and things have gone from bad to worse, now they turn on Moses and Aaron. And in the process, they're turning on God too. Yeah, we'll serve God when things are going well. But if serving him and taking a stand for him brings bad times, then we're going to quickly turn our attention to ourselves and away from God, and you know, we're going to decide against him. We're not going to serve him. Verse 22, it's costing us something, you know. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore have you so evil entreated this people? Why is it that you have sent me? In other words, Moses is saying, I've said everything that you've told me to say, and things aren't working out. Why did you even send me here? Well, you know what? God told him that the king would not let them go right away. Moses must have forgot about that. He certainly didn't mention it to the religious leaders, to the leaders in Israel. If he may have given them the entire word of God, that Pharaoh wasn't going to release them right away without God first flexing his muscle, then perhaps they would have prepared themselves for this disappointment. They never saw it coming, and Moses seems to have forgotten that God even said it. And then he continues in verse 23, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, neither have you delivered your people at all. God, you're not holding up your end of the bargain. Well, God is holding up his end of the bargain. This is happening exactly the way God said it would happen. See, there's a real danger in just studying part of the word or just believing the parts that you like and ignoring the other parts. You know, I'll read and I'll get excited and I'll be happy about the blessings of God's word, about the positive things. But boy, let that preacher start saying the negative stuff that's in the word of God, and I'm walking. I'm not going to support them anymore. That's the way a lot of people are. And I don't think Moses is that way in his heart, but he has forgotten the word of God. And I believe that's why he is responding the way he is. He's upset.